Well, we are certainly happy to be here. We always are, and we thank the Lord for that privilege. As we get ready to look into God's Word, I remind my heart, I remind yours, that there is a principle of Bible study that is absolutely indispensable. And that principle is total reliance on God's Holy Spirit. It's God's Bible. He inspired it, and now he wants to breathe on it again and make it live. He desires that we see Jesus, and so only God can reveal God. I want to share a Bible verse before we actually look at what's on our heart. It's from Psalm 143 and verse 8. Before we go to prayer, Psalm 143:8 says, "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." The part that gripped my heart was, "Let me hear your loving kindness." Usually you would think, "Let me hear your voice." But this is, "Let me hear your heart. Let me hear your loving kindness, and then I'll be taught." And so he's promised to teach us if we could hear his heart. So let's ask the Lord to help us listen to his heart. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you most of all for the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and ever turns our eyes to Christ. We give this little meditation unto you and this weekend unto you. And we just pray that you would take us forward in leaps and bounds in a heart knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We thank you in advance that you're doing it now. You're going to continue to do it because we ask it, we claim it. In the matchless name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Well, as I already said, it's a great joy for Tom and I to be here. And we want to share with you, as you would expect, we want to share our revelation of the Lord Jesus. We're going to use the Bible, but it doesn't matter where we turn in the Bible. You didn't come here to learn the Bible. You came here to meet the Lord, I hope. That's why we came here. And whether we're in Genesis or Psalms or Isaiah or Matthew, it doesn't matter if our eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus. And so Tom and I have committed our little session here to the Lord, and we pray that we'll see him. Now, we've chosen to express the Lord this time in the book of Psalms, in a series of Psalms. There's a couple of reasons we chose Psalms. One of them is that, as you know, the book of Psalms is the hymnal of the Jews. It's a hymn book. And I know that perhaps you have meditated on the Psalms or read the Psalms, but not a lot of people study the Psalms. And so we thought we'd just do something a little bit different and take you to the Psalms. Now, one reason that we like that is because the Psalms are hymns, the hymns are songs, and we're going to pray that God will do for each of us what he did for his servant David. Psalm 40 and verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it, fear, and trust in the Lord." It's a different kind of song. It's not a song you hear. He said, "God's put a new song in my heart. Many will see it." It's the kind of song you see, not that you hear. And when the Lord writes a song in your heart, others can see that joy. And so we're praying that that's what God will do this weekend. as we look at this special section of Psalms, that God will write a song. Even a parrot, I suppose, can learn the lyrics, can learn words. But we want to see the heart of the Lord, and we want to enter in. The second reason we've chosen this set of Psalms, and if you'll turn to Psalm 120, please, in your Bible, the second reason is that this group of Psalms, Psalm 120 to 134, 15 Psalms, depending on the translation that you're using, there's a common thread that runs through all 15 of these Psalms. And it's seen in the title. I'm using the New American Standard Bible. And at the title, before each of those Psalms, it says, a Psalm of Ascents. Ascending, going up, a Psalm of Ascents. If you're using the King James Version, it says, a Psalm of Degrees. And once again, you get the idea of ascending. Literally, the Hebrew is the goings up, Psalms of the goings up. And it isn't man that put these together, it's God. This is God's arrangement of these 15 Psalms. Sometimes they're called the Pilgrim Psalms. And the thing that goes through each one of these is that they are actually ascending. So Psalm 121 should be taking you higher than Psalm 120. And 122 should take you a little higher than 121. And so on, all the way through Psalm 134. So we're going to emphasize that rising, that advancing, that ascending, that climbing, that going forward, moving up from one degree to another degree. Now, it's believed, though not 100%, but almost all of the evangelical commentaries would hold to the fact that they sang, the Jews sang these 15 Psalms as they went up to their annual pilgrimages in Jerusalem three times a year. Remember, God commanded them three times a year to go up and to celebrate feasts. In the springtime, in March or in April, they would go up and celebrate Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the first fruits of the barley harvest and so on. And then in the summertime, in June or early July, they would go up again and celebrate the first fruits of the wheat harvest. They call that particular feast the Feast of Pentecost, sometimes the Feast of Weeks, because it was on the seventh week and so on. And then in the fall, they'd go up again, and they would celebrate the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, late September, early October. So three times a year, they would go up, and it's believed that they sang these psalms as they got closer and closer to Jerusalem and to the Holy Temple. Some people say that, well, that's not why they're ascending psalms. There are other reasons. Some people think that there were 15 steps in the temple, 15 psalms. That's why they're ascending. Some people think it's a musical score, that as you sing it, it gets higher and higher and higher. Some people say because Hezekiah wrote one. Remember, he was given 15 additional years to his life. And some people think that's why it's ascending. Some people think it's when they carried the ark up into the temple, that's why they're ascending. But the point that we're making is that there is an ascent. There is a gradual moving forward. And Lord willing, Tom and I want to emphasize that this weekend. But having said that, We don't want to be misunderstood. These are Psalms of Ascent, but I don't want to give the idea that there's a higher plane and a lesser plane, so some Christians are way up here and other Christians are down here. You know, that leads to a spiritual elitism and pride and exclusivism and all that kind of thing. All Christians have Christ. Even if you're totally surrendered or if you're backslidden, you still have Christ. And we all have Christ equally. So we're going to talk about advancing, but it's internal. It's about the heart. It's not about one Christian being raised above another Christian. It's organic. It's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. You know, first the blade and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. There's a development. Like he's an infant and then he's a child and then he's a young child and an adolescent and an adult and a senior. And they're growing, but it has to do with the inside. One illustration I think it will be helpful that we decided to use is a little stream. And a stream begins to grow, and it grows in, I don't know what comes first, a brook or a stream. But anyway, the brook or the stream turns into the stream or the brook, and then that turns into a river, and then that flows into the sea. And the question is, where does the brook end and the stream begin? And then where does the stream end and the river begin? You can't tell, because even though there is a progress, it's getting bigger and it's flowing into the sea, yet it's all the same. It's been many years since I've sung my ABCs. I don't make it a habit to sing. I did recently with my little granddaughter, but I don't sing my ABCs. But I use it every day. I use my ABC in different combinations, in different forms, and so on. And so we're talking about advancing, but in one sense, we never leave what we start with. That comes with us, and we're moving on, we're moving up, but it's internal. It's all about the heart. And so hopefully, when we get to the middle of these 15 Psalms, you won't be at the same place you were at the beginning. And when you get to the end, you'll be at a different place as far as teaching is concerned. So that's what we wanted to look at. One final word of introduction before we begin. We're ascending, but to what end? You know, say we're going to climb the mountain. Well, what's at the top of the mountain? And the answer is intimacy with Jesus. That's where we're heading. These Psalms should take us forward in our love of Jesus, in our intimacy, our relationship with him. And so that's why we want to look at this. And again, I say, I don't know if you've ever studied a hymn, studied a psalm, but there is richness in meditating long and hard on these precious psalms. So we're going to look at these psalms. Let me just sort of give an outline of the whole set, and then we'll begin to look at them. The first three of these 15 sort of give an introduction and a desire to ascend. I want to ascend. That's the first three. And then the next eight psalms give us the teaching, the explanation. What does it mean to ascend? And so you get the creed, you get the doctrine, you get the teaching, you get the instruction. And then finally, instruction is wonderful, but it's not Jesus. Doctrine's a wonderful thing, but it's not him. It's not Christ. And so finally, as we come to the end, those final chapters will tell us how to enter in to the reality, to move from the doctrine to the reality. All right, with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to turn Psalm 120, please. Follow along. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior, with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace. When I speak, they are for war. Now, we look at that and say, what in the world is he singing about? What's he talking about? This is the beginning of ascending. Everybody who has ever gone forward in the Lord has begun in this psalm. You probably wouldn't use those words. I'm tired of dwelling in Kedar and Meshech. But the principle is the same. If I were to summarize this psalm in one word, it would be the word desire. All through the psalm, there is this extreme longing, desire to advance. You're one verse deep in verse 1, in my trouble, I cried to the Lord. The psalms of ascent begin with a soul in trouble. Wouldn't you expect that it would be otherwise? But that's how it has to begin. The beginning of rising, ascending, growing, advancing, moving on is this cry, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to deliver me. In verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. In verse 5, woe is me. I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell among the tents of Kedar. In verse 6 again, too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. The psalmist begins, and he is in great trouble in his heart. Verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, a deceitful tongue. The question comes, whose lips are lying? Is it somebody else's lips, or is it his own lips? Deliver me from lying lips. I think his prayer is, deliver me from unreality. So it could be somebody else's lying lips or my own lying lips. But I think he's saying, Lord, I am in trouble, and I'm sick of playing the game. I'm sick of the lie. I'm sick of pretending. I'm sick of play acting. I don't want to lie anymore. Some of you, I think, know some of my testimony. And if anyone could ever cry out, deliver my soul from lying lips. For 7 years, I lived a terrible lie. And then I tried to defend that lie and build it up, and it got bigger and bigger and so on. But what a tremendous burden it is. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from hypocrisy, from lying lips, a deceitful tongue. Look at verse 5, please. Woe is me, I sojourn in Meshech and dwell among the tents of Kedar. You say, well, I got to have some Bible background to know what that means. Don't get all lost in words like that. The history is simply this. What is Meshech? What is Kedar? It has to do with two men. Meshech was a descendant of Japheth. And he settled north of Jerusalem. That's all you really need to know. And Kedar was a descendant of Ishmael. And he went down into the Arabian desert, south of Jerusalem. Now, clearly, when you're in the Psalms, you're in a new section of literature, poetry. And when you're into poetry, you're into graphic language. You're into metaphors and similes and hyperboles and metonymies and figures of speech. I know this is a figure of speech. I don't want to dwell in Meshach. I don't want to dwell in Kedar. You know how I know it's a figure of speech? Because you can't be in the same place at two different places at the same time. One is north of Jerusalem. One is south of Jerusalem. And he said, I'm so sick of living north of Jerusalem and south of Jerusalem. How could he be living both north and south of Jerusalem? Well, I think he identifies it in verse 7. I'm for peace. Jerusalem's the city of peace. And I think the psalmist is saying, I am sick and tired of the lie, of the game, of playing around. I want reality. I am so sick of missing peace on the north or on the south. Everybody else has it. I don't have it, and I'm just missing it. I'm either north of it or I'm south of it, but I'm never living in peace. He said, my heart, I want to live in peace. I remember as a young Christian how frustrated I got. Some of my friends were not very honest. And when they gave testimonies, they would say, God delivered me. God provided for me. God gave me a gift, a special gift. God opened up the scripture to me. And my heart is saying, I get nothing. How come everybody else is getting blessed? And everybody else is seeing miracles? And everybody else is all excited? And I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. And I didn't have it. And I felt like Thomas. You know, remember when the 10 disciples came to him and said, you should have been there. It was such a wonderful time. And he just said, I'm not going to believe unless I see it, unless I can put my fingers in his wounds. Being a day late and a dollar short. And I figure, as I read this psalm, that's the psalmist. He said, I am sick and tired of the lie. I'm tired of playing games. I don't want to just miss peace and pretend I have victory when I don't, and pretend I have rest when I don't, and pretend the Bible's alive when it isn't. I don't want to live there anymore. Too long, the psalmist says, have I lived in Meshach? Too long have I lived in Kedar. And he's crying out, God, please, I want reality. Please deliver me. I want out. I've been in this desert for too long. He adds poetry to his agony in verse 4. Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. He speaks about being pierced with sharp arrows. The broom tree, the scholars tell us that that was a very special root that they would gather because it burned hot and for a long time, the coals of the broom tree. And I think what he's saying is, I am miserable. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I'm tired of playing the game. I'm tired of the lie. I'm tired of the bondage. I'm tired of just missing peace. I'm tired of being pierced. Every time somebody says something, I'm the one that gets pierced. I'm tired of being burned all the time by the roots of the broom tree. I want out. He's not praying for a different church. He's not praying for a different organization or a different program or a different set of rules or spiritual disciplines that he could apply. He's not looking for new doctrine. He just doesn't want unreality anymore. That's Psalm 120. Lord, deliver me from unreality. No more Meshach, no more Kedar, no more sharp arrows, no more being burned, no more living in the desert, no more lying tongue, no more deceit. Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver me from this. I don't want to play the game anymore. In verse 7, I am for peace when I speak. They are for war. And I think the psalmist is just saying, I want reality. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want war anymore. I don't want to argue anymore. Every time I express some desire for reality and some I want to know the Lord more intimately and more closely, they drag me into some theological debate. The sovereignty of God and free will of man, that's not doing it for me anymore. Studying prophecy and end times and making charts, that doesn't answer my heart. I want to know the Lord. I don't want to study spiritual gifts. I don't want to study angels. I don't want to study warfare. I don't want to study church discipline. I don't want to study the ordinances of the church. I don't want to study body life. I want the Lord. I want to know Him. I want to know Him intimately. And I'm sick and tired of the whole game. And so the Psalms of Ascent begin with this burning passion. Lord, give me reality. Give me reality. That's the first Psalm of Ascent. Now, since Tom and I, Lord willing, are going through 15 Psalms, we're going to fly. We have to fly. We just want to get the heart of each one. The heart of Psalm 120 is desire. I want to look at, actually, before we close tonight, two more. I just want to give you the heart of Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He'll guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Look again, please, at the first verse. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence, from where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. The heart of this psalm is the conclusion the psalmist makes. In Psalm 120, he said, I want reality. In Psalm 21, he says, the only one who can ever give me that reality is the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. But the backdrop of that conclusion, that the Lord is the only way, is what was going on in his heart. In the New American Standard, it rightly makes a question out of verse 1. You see, the psalmist was, he was so burned by this world and no answers here. And so he says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, which is the highest place on earth. And the highest place on earth couldn't help him. So then he asked the question, from where shall my help come? If it's not coming from the earth and it's not coming from the highest place on the earth, where will I ever find help? And he concludes, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. His need is desperate, and he's saying, I need someone who can control the whole universe and all the galaxies. And then he says in verse 4, that he keeps his people. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And then he comes right down in verse 3 and says, he'll keep your foot from slipping. And the psalmist says, that's the kind of help I need. I don't know how to get to the Lord. Not yet. That's coming up in another psalm. He said, all I know is only God can meet my need. Somebody who has made heaven and earth, someone who's in charge of the whole universe, someone who can keep a whole nation, someone who can keep an individual from slipping. But at this point, he hasn't made it his own. Did you notice in verse 3 and 5 and 7? He'll keep your foot from slipping. He didn't say he'll keep my foot from slipping. He said the Lord's your keeper. Because at this point, he can't say the Lord is my keeper. In verse 7, it's your protection. He'll watch over you. But he's not yet been able to say he'll watch over me. And so the psalmist, he's advancing because he sees God is the only one who can do it. In verse 3, he'll not allow your foot to slip. Boy, I've been here. This is poetic language crying out for someone that's able to manage indwelling sin. I am so tired, says the psalmist, of slipping. I need somebody who can keep me from slipping. I repent. I come back to the Lord. I screw up again. I fall down. I come back. I fall. I'm so tired of slipping. Is there somebody out there who can keep my foot from slipping and keep me from all of this indwelling sin? I can't stop slipping. And he says, the Lord, he's the only one. And then in verse 6, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. I'm not going to get into all of the fantasies the commentaries talk about with moon burn and all of that. I think he's just saying, I need somebody who can give me a 24-hour protection. All day long and all night long. Do you know anybody? Don't answer, just think. Do you know anybody that can give you victory over indwelling sin? Do you know anybody that can watch over you day and night, 24 hours a day? That's what he's crying for. Somebody that can fit that bill. And then in verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. It's not only the internal enemies. There are other enemies out there. The world, the flesh, the devil, and so on. And so he's just sort of analyzing. He said, I looked to the mountains, the highest place on earth. That didn't help. Only the Lord can help me. Only the Lord who is in control of the galaxies. Only the Lord who can protect a nation. Only the Lord who can protect an individual that can deal with my indwelling sin. Only the Lord. Only somebody who can watch over me 24 hours a day. When the sun comes up, till the sun goes down, and the moon comes up, till the sun comes up again. I need someone to watch over me. And someone who can deliver me from all evil. I got an enemy out there. He hates my guts. Satan. Who's going to deliver me from that? And this is all part of his cry. He's trying to ascend. He knows it's the Lord, but he doesn't know how to get there yet. He knows nobody else can help. In verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forever. That's talking about all the changing experiences of life. You go in and then you come out. And then you go into this and you come out. And you know in your life, all the changing time. How many times have you gone in and come out and gone in and come out? I know in the systems. I went into humanism and came out of humanism. And I went into legalism and came out of legalism. And I went into mysticism and came out of mysticism. And I went into other isms. But the whole point is, he said, I need somebody who can deal with my indwelling sin, who can keep me 24 hours a day, who can deal with all enemies that I'll ever face, that can deal with all the changing experiences of my life. And then he said, from this time forth and forever. Who can meet that bill? And he goes back to verse 1 and he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And at this point, that's all he knows. He knows it's got to be the Lord. In 120, he's saying, I've got to have reality. In 121, he says, only the Lord can give it to me. But how do I get there? How do I get there? You see, that's the dilemma in his heart. And it's all part of these ascending psalms. Very quickly, as we close, 122, verse 1. I won't take time to read the entire psalm, but I'll show you the heart of it. 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You realize the discovery the psalmist has made? In 120, he said, I've got to have reality. Psalm 121, he says, only the Lord can give me reality. But I don't know how to get there. Psalm 122, he says, I was so glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. He discovers he's not alone. Others have the same passion and the same quest that he has. And now he realizes that he's not alone. There's a remnant. There are others who long for peace and rest and are tired of unreality and the lying lips and the war and dwelling north and south of the city of peace. And so he says, and this is generally the way God does it. He puts a desire in your heart for reality. He shows you the Lord's the only way you're ever going to get it. And then he brings somebody into your life, or some many people into your life, to take you by the hand and say, let's go to the house of the Lord. And so now he joins in with this wonderful company. Verse 4, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. This isn't just denominations and Pentecostals and Baptists and Episcopals and Methodists and Brethren and all the rest. These are all the tribes of the Lord. There's a remnant from every tribe, and they're going to the house of the Lord. Verse 2 and 3, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that's built as a city compact together. And now for the first time, the psalmist feels like he's right at the door. He's not in yet. He hasn't entered in, but he's right at the door. God has brought into his life all of these people. They take him by the hand. They say, let's go to the house of the Lord. And they go up and they're singing as they go. And he finally says, I feel like I'm right at the door. He hadn't entered in, but he's standing right at the door, and he knows within moments he'll be in the company of one body with one voice and one life and one spirit who are going to lift a praise to God. And he is so excited because he found out he's not by himself. He's not just some maverick all by himself, but now there is a group who wants to enter in and find the Lord. Psalm 121 and verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The goal isn't getting to Jerusalem. He said in verse 6 in chapter 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And now he finds the remnant. His burden increases. He longs to enter in, but now he's going in with the people of God. And so he's so blessed. He closes the psalm in 8 and 9, "For the sake of my brothers, my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Tom and I believe these are the first three psalms. It introduces us to a new series now. As he enters in, he's going to be instructed in the ways of the Lord. This is ascending. I've got to desire it. I've got to see that he's the only one that can ever meet my need. And then I've got to thank God that he has given me the body to take my hand and to take me into the house of the Lord. Well, that's the introduction, and I hope that maybe we've created some kind of a desire in your heart. Go through these psalms and read them and study them. And Lord willing, this weekend we'll follow the ascent until we come into intimate union with our Lord Jesus.